Now, let's go to Trending Matters, and our colleague, Adi Joshua Byrne, sits off to me. Joshua, morning to you. Thanks for joining us today. We're looking at TikTok launching its dedicated STEM content feed for EU users. STEM is the new buzzword, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really, Keith. I suppose universities all around are using it at the moment, and as well the university here in Galway, and ATU as well in Galway are using it a lot. STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering and Mathematics. So yeah, it really is a buzzword being thrown around at the moment.
So how are TikTok then targeting that audience?
So what they're doing is they're basically launching this dedicated feed. So what you have on TikTok currently is you have your following and your For You. So your For You page is TikTok basically putting together an algorithm of videos that they think you will like. But basically a little tab is going to go in beside it called STEM. And you'll be able to go on that and look at these videos, you know, pertaining to science, technology, engineering and mathematics. So I suppose what they're trying to do is, expose, you know, young people, especially using TikTok to these kind of videos and these kind of educational videos. That.
But what it does do is it gives you a shortcut into it rather than having to scroll through TikTok and maybe happen upon it.
Yeah, big time, and I suppose that's a big positive, because you can find yourself, you know, with TikTok algorithms, you know, you like certain videos or maybe, you know, you watch 60 seconds of, you know, a certain type of content, and TikTok sees that you're engaging with it, and it'll show you more of that content. But yeah, it's definitely a positive, because look, you can find yourself videos on TikTok, they'll give you things that you're just completely not interested in at all. But just to have a dedicated, I suppose, resource that you can go to on TikTok, and an educational one as well, because, you know, a lot of the content you see on TikTok, as great as it can be, there's a lot of stuff on it as well that it, you know, is just, I suppose, you know, not the best for our brains and our attention span and that kind of thing. You know, there's a lot of stuff on it that you probably would just call rubbish. Yeah. But yeah, it's a positive one, I think. And so even with stuff that isn't English content, it's going to have subtitles and stuff. So you'll be getting stuff from all over the world and that kind of thing. And one thing that's very important about it as well is that it's going to be fact-checked by two independent organisations. So one of them is Common Sense Networks, and the parents out there might have already heard of it, because they do, they offer services to, protect children's phones and stuff like that. When you put, you know, locks on certain kind of content, they offer that kind of service. And the other one is the Poynter Institute. So they'll be assessing the reliability of all the information that's provided in those kind of videos. People under the age of 18. So if you're said as under the age of 18 on your TikTok account, you will have the STEM feature turned on by default. If not, I believe you'll have to go into your settings and turn it on yourself. Look, I'd recommend, even if it's not something you're interested in, you might find something new in there. It's an interesting one.
But when you're signing up to TikTok, I mean, there's no verification. You can say that you're 19, 20, 21.
Yeah, yeah.
You could be six.
That's a big problem. I feel like a lot of people, I certainly when I was younger, I know I probably used to say that I was over the age of 18 on certain social medias. You know,
just to get access.
Yeah. You know, to get access to what I suppose my friends were watching and that kind of thing, you know. A lot of parents will have their kids, you know, signed up with the correct ages and that kind of thing, you know, just for user protection. I think it's a positive that this is going to be something that's just on, you know, your TikTok account by default if you're under the age of 18, because you know, it's something that, look, these kids are the age of you know, looking at college degrees and stuff and what they're going to do. So look, they might find something that they're super interested in on there.
Absolutely. And whether appetite you have from there. Now, the next one kind of scares me, but and I was reading about it over the weekend. I think it's on the Irish Times over the weekend. The new tech bringing loved ones back to life through AI.
Yeah, I think
scary.
This is one that scares me as well. It does make you feel a bit uneasy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's it's a virtual reality tool. It's called Live Forever Mode, and it basically it features a digital avatar who can simulate a person's voice, mannerisms, and movements after just 30 minutes of a user being observed. So basically, what would happen is, if I was to sit in this machine and have it, I suppose, observe me and my mannerisms and stuff after 30 minutes of just a casual conversation with you, like this technology could be observing me chatting to you here, Keith, and then it would, you know, be able to, you'd be able to basically sit and have a conversation with a virtual version of me, and it would be, you know, pretty, it could be accurate enough. So it actually might be something you can look at. You wouldn't have to bring me in here at all now on Tuesday mornings. You could just have an AI generated version of me. But
it wouldn't be the same though.
No, and look, I suppose it does make you feel that small bit uneasy, just because, you know, it's not the natural, it's not a natural, I suppose, you know, look, when someone goes, I suppose, you know, I suppose it's important to say goodbye in that kind of way. And I feel like...
And let them go.
Yeah, I feel like this technology is something that, it's strange, you know, it's not a person's life just simply can't be, in my opinion, can't be, you know,
replicated like that.
Yeah, and look, as great as technology is, I'm not sure I would ever look at using something like this, just because I do believe in letting people rest. But you know, each to their own, I suppose. But yeah, it's an interesting technology, and so the creator of it, actually, the idea came to him after his father was diagnosed with cancer. And he basically didn't want to let go of the father-son conversations, you know. And look, I mean, we can all sympathize with that sentiment. So, it's an interesting one, but definitely, yeah, scary as well.
Mm, you know, definitely. Listen, well done to you. Thank you indeed for joining us, Joshua Byrne, today. And further details can be had from our website. But again, TikTok and that STEM, dedicated STEM content, that's a positive one. The new tech, bringing loved ones back to life through AI. I think we'll pass on that one. Wouldn't do it to me family either. Quick commercial break, we're back up to these.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road. A new way to car shop.
Now, very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. We're with you until 12 midday, and I have to do this and this. And you know what? It's been a busy morning.
Good health naturally with Evergreen Health Foods. A world of natural health awaits at your local Evergreen Health store and online at evergreen.ie.
And Helen joins me this morning. Helen, good morning. How are you today?
Good, Keith. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us today on the programme. A number of things have come across the desk today. I take aloe vera juice most days for heartburn and stomach issues. I find it great. Can I keep taking it?
Yeah,
heartburn.
Aloe vera. Yeah,
Aloe vera.
It's a really good one. Because you can imagine, you know, when you go on your holidays and you get a bit of sunburn or you're a bit red, and you put on the aloe vera gel on the skin.
Mm.
It's the same effect internally. It's soothing, it's calming, it's quick. So if you have a bit of heartburn or a bit of digestive discomfort, have a couple of shots or even one shot twice a day. And it's a really nice healer as well. People use it for bowel regularity and use it for skin and for energy. So it's not a bad one. However, if you're using it kind of on and off for a lot, it's probably time to maybe look at what's causing the long-term effects, really,
yeah.
To be honest, yeah. And that's where you look kind of like more rounded solution. So you might look at maybe the diet. You might look at, is certain foods aggravating it? Is it you eating too much? Are you stressed? Are you maybe certain medication? That kind of thing. And look at all those and see how you get on with that. And then eat less, maybe eat smaller meals. Don't drink with your food. Don't eat too late at night. all those kind of things and see how that works for you. You could throw in a digestive enzyme, and what that will do is it will digest the food for you, so there's not an issue with there being discomfort in the stomach or it coming up through your esophagus. Or magnesium will help as well. Magnesium helps with the spasms on that, you've a muscle there that kind of joins your esophagus with your stomach. That can really help there, and it also helps with acid production. So you have a few different options, but if it's a long-term thing, I would probably look and see what the story is, and because it can have like long-term effects, to be honest.
And consult your GP as well.
Always, 100%, especially if it's ongoing. It might just be, you know, if you've been on holidays and you've kind of been hitting the sugars and the fats and the alcohol, or maybe certain medication might be irritating it, or maybe you're stressed, or maybe you're not sleeping properly, or lots of different things, but you'd always keep the GP in the loop. If it's ongoing for a while, to be honest.
Because colonoscopy is 10 a penny now at this stage, and you can get that done, or an endoscopy. And
100%. And when you get to a certain age as well, everyone has, you know, something kind of going, especially digestive function. If it's not working properly, it will affect your energy levels, it'll affect your quality of life. Mm-hmm. And no one wants that for anyone.
No. We have somebody else on here. Does Evergreen have an alternative to melatonin to help with sleep? Why would they want an alternative to melatonin?
Because you can't get melatonin in Ireland. It's not, it's on prescription only, and it's one of those things for years, because I work late until 9 o'clock on a Wednesday, so all the pharmacies are all closed. So all the Americans come in, because you can get melatonin everywhere in America. Every street corner, every airport, no big deal. They come in, obviously, jet-lagged, up to the eyeballs, and they can't understand how we can't sell melatonin, but it's a hormone. So basically, what I would do there is, I would look at, you make melatonin. It basically, you make it at nighttime. It helps you sleep. There are certain foods that have tryptophan and melatonin in them, like your turkey and your nuts and your seeds. You might look at that. You might look at the reasons why you want something to help you sleep. You know, as I say, is it like a very recent thing? Is it long-term? Stress, anxiety, medications, maybe eating too late at night, kind of caffeine. Maybe you're on the phone, the blue light again. I always go with magnesium. It suits everyone. We have one to suit everyone. And what it will do is it'll work at nighttime to calm down the excitatory part of your nervous system. And it'll also kind of help with lots of other things, maybe the anxiety part, or it might kind of help just to relax those muscles. So I'll always go to magnesium. Mm-hmm. We have loads of options. We have sleep, we have herbal teas, we have certain, maybe valerian. But magnesium is probably my go-to for sleep always. But maybe look at the reasons why you can't sleep and maybe address that if it's more of a long-term issue.
Can I ask, why was it taken off the market? It was on the market for years here.
So you can get it on prescription only. It's very tightly regulated in Ireland. I'm not sure about, I think, most of Europe as well, because it's a hormone.
Okay.
So you produce it anyway. So by taking, like, say, a medication or a supplement with melatonin in it, you're just adding to your own levels.
Yeah.
But I suppose it is a hormone, so it's more regulated, but I suppose different strokes for different countries.
Yeah. Absolutely. Is there anything that you would suggest to help with brain fog and memory?
Yeah, we get a lot of that because it's everywhere. And everyone, people know that you don't have to not be able to recall or to have any kind of retention of information and stuff. And when someone comes into the shop, what we'll do is we'll ask them what brain fog means to them. Because it's a big umbrella term. Does it mean you can't remember things? Does it mean you can't recall things? Does it mean that you have difficulty in concentrating? Or maybe you're a bit kind of clumsy? Or how does it mean to you? And then we'll ask what's going on with them. Why is that happening? Is it a menopause thing? Is it a hormonal issue? Is it stress? Lack of quality sleep? Maybe, again, like, say, certain dietary issues and stuff. So we'll always look at the reasons why. So it can be quite individual. And then when we're kind of with that, then we'll do a few different things. Your B vitamins and omegas are really important for brain function. They'll also help maybe with the reasons why you can't recall things or remember things and stuff. So your B vitamins and your omegas, they help with clarity, concentration, help your brain function optimally. Sometimes low B12 can be an issue as well. And look at the diet. So we'll always go for lifestyle choices, and we'll always go maybe B vitamins and omega. But if it's really worrying you, or the symptoms are exacerbated, or they don't help with lifestyle changes, always go to your doctor. But it's more and more common these days. So, as I say, it's a good option to try the omegas and B vitamins first, and then you can see how you get on with that.
Now, somebody asked, what would be a good drink instead of coffee for an afternoon energy boost?
Yeah, it's, again, another common one, because the coffee is great just for the energy boost in the morning. But in the afternoons, what it will do is it might give you a quick hit, and then you're slumped after that. So what the deal really there is, we kind of recommend cacao. And cacao is not cocoa. It's a less refined version of cocoa powder. And what that will do is it has a thing called theobromine in it. And what that will do is, unlike caffeine, which affects your central nervous system, it helps give you a nice, calm alertness and puts you like a nice dopamine hit. the girls at work all do it all, like every day. And what that will do is it'll just negate the any kind of negative effects that caffeine will give you. Bit of energy, kind of works, and maybe a little bit of regulating kind of cardiovascular, loads of nutrients. Make a nice hot drink out of it, make a cold drink out of it. Even water, you forget to drink water sometimes, and then you realise you've been in the shop for 4 or 5 hours and have had no water. So up your water levels, that can help as well. Any like hydrating kind of drink would be a good option to take for sure.
Oh, what's it called again? Somebody
cacao. So it's we have loads of, we have it in the block itself, or already kind of with the powder or the ground down. But it tastes lovely. You can make it taste sweet, as sweet as you want, depending on your taste buds. But it has this theobromine, and so it's a nice energizing, it's like stimulant, but doesn't affect the central nervous system. So it's a really popular one online. A lot of it on TikTok. People come in looking for it. They bake with it and all sorts, but really nutrient dense. So it's a nice option if you want a bit of a boost to get you through the rest of the day without kind of the jitters or without affecting your sleep or any kind of knock-on negative effects.
Good on you. Finally, my mother has a problem with recurring bladder infections lately. Is there anything to help her?
Yeah, there's two things here. If she's had recurring bladder infections, which could be even like twice, 3 times in 6 months, she would have been on probably on antibiotics. So that if you're on antibiotics, even for like 6-7 days, that can affect your whole microbiome and how you react to an infection for up to 2 years. So you'd always go in with...
2 years?
Yeah. And that's even... And then after 2 years, the microbiome wouldn't have been what you started off with either. And that's your first line of defence when you get an infection, because most infections come from like E. coli or kind of strong pathogens from the gut. So most infections that end up in the urinary tract or in the bladder come from the bowel. So what you do there is your probiotics are really important, or probiotic foods. Get them into you and help negate the effect of the antibiotics that was so needed at the time. And then the mannose comes from your fruit, your veg, your cranberry, and it will literally like lock on to the bacteria called the infection and get rid of it through the bladder. So D-mannose always, it'll help with the symptoms, it'll help reduce the strength of symptoms, it'll reduce the time you have the symptoms, and it can be quite good just to prevent as well.
All right, further details can be had from Evergreen, but Helen, thanks indeed for popping into us. Cacao, how do you spell it?
C-A-C-A-O.
C-A-C-A-O.
Yeah, cacao.
Okay.
The good stuff. If you come in and look for the good stuff, we'll point in the right direction.
The good stuff. It's only good stuff in Evergreen. Listen, thanks for joining us today. Further details on the good stuff. If the girls are taking it in the shop, it has to be very good stuff altogether. Helen, thank you for joining us today.
Good health naturally with Evergreen Health Foods. Kickstart your health journey with Evergreen Health Foods. With 8 Galway-based stores, a healthier you is just around the corner.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.
Now, a very good morning to you in our Music Corner. This week we've got the wonderful indeed, Pádraig Jack, and he's got a brand new bit of music out called Atone. And again, if you want to get further details on that, you can do so by just Googling Pádraig Jack, but he joins me in studio. Morning to you.
I'm good now, and yourself?
You're busy, 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 so you are. And if they want to get further details, by the way, on your gigs, they can do so. Just go to pádraigjack.com, P-A-D-R-A-I-G-Jack.com, and further details from there. Tell me a little bit, you'll have an album hopefully later in the year for us, but tell me about Atone.
Yeah, so Atone is a song I wrote in the last couple of years. I think it's loosely about... how, you know, we don't listen to each other online and stuff with social media and stuff. And I think it's just trying to, I suppose, if you're, you know, looking at a topic or something, just trying to look at in an argument or a debate, trying to just put yourself in the position of the other side and maybe try and see things a little bit from what their point of view. Yeah. Even if you don't agree with it, and even if you know you don't, you're sure you won't, but to try and understand where people are coming from a little bit, you know.
So you're looking at both sides, taking both sides then into account.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
So well, how do you sit down and start something like that from a musical point of view?
Yeah, it's a good question, I suppose. I set the conditions for it to happen. So I just play music, just play guitar or piano, as it was for this one, and just see what comes out. And usually I think maybe there's something subconscious in your that might be going around in your head that might end up, you know, you could be just going singing blah, 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 literally.
Yeah.
And then there might be some bit of few words in it that go, oh yeah, that I'll work on that, do you know? So I think with that one, it was probably Would You Atone was probably the first line. And then I kind of wrote the song after that, you know?
You're very talented with, you know, to be able to pull it together like that, then put the music to it and keep it original.
Thanks very much. I don't know if I do it. I mean, I hope that's what I try to do anyway. I hope I do that anyway, yeah. I think my main influences really would be like the songwriters, you know, your James Taylors and the lyrics would be a big part of what I do, you know, the biggest part really. And I think I kind of try and wrap it up in decent music and, you know, good production, I suppose. But I think for me, the lyrics are very important. So I would put a lot of work and emphasis on into that side of it, you know.
But that in itself is a lot of work, so it is, because it's like writing a book effectively. But you've got fewer words and then you have to take everything into account.
Yeah, exactly. I think you have to be very concise, you know. Was some famous poet, was it Joyce or someone that said, I don't know who it was now, could have been someone totally different, but that, you know, the perfect poem, or was it Seamus Heaney, the perfect poem, you couldn't add or you couldn't take away one word or letter, mm-hmm. and you couldn't add one more, you know. And I suppose if you're trying to aspire to do that, you know, it takes a lot of time rewriting. Again, probably like writing a book. Yeah. I mean, I wrote a thesis in college, I suppose, which is a different thing. But with a song, I mean, ideally, some of the best songs ever have very few words. And like, you know, relatively, and you're like, how? But it still says what it's trying to say.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part, you know, to make it concise, you know.
And then with the likes of a tone and or otherwise, once you're finished with it, you want to be happy with it because you don't know where it's going to go.
No. Yeah, it's like fledging, it's off into the world and
it's gone into the ether. Somebody could then knock on the door and say, by the way, poor Jack, can I take it? Can I use it? Could it be used for a film? Could it be used for another artist?
Yeah. That happens, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, and that's like from the beginning, from the first two words that you write to something like that happening. And it's a great break if you can get them.
Yeah.
But it just shows how careful you have to be to get it right at the very beginning. The foundation has to be right.
That's true, yeah, exactly. And I mean, I love the process of it and I'd be very self-critical of myself. I have a very low rate of releasing, like writing songs. I don't finish many, couple of year roughly on average, but I think I try and home, which is not saying that I produce good music every time, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm sure some of what I've written isn't great, or if not all of it, but I try and hold that myself to that high standard if I can. Now, well, mm-hmm. and again, whether I do or not, I don't know. But with regards to film and stuff, yeah, like actually, I was approached recently by a fellow from France about doing a project, a film, over the next couple of years. So I might start working on something like that soon. Mm-hmm. And I had another song, it was featured in a TV show recently as well. But but with that side of it, I suppose when you're writing the song, I wouldn't worry too much. About you just try and focus on making the thing as good as you can, I guess.
Yeah.
And if someone wants to use it or do something with it as well, then that's great. I mean, but...
Mm. I think maybe, is it an Irish thing that we're always hard on ourselves?
I suppose, yeah.
You know, you see the Americans and they're so oozing with confidence.
Yeah.
And the music in question could be shocking bad.
Yeah.
But you just go with it, whereas, I mean, I suppose, is it a lack of self-confidence or otherwise, or a fear of what others think of us?
Yeah, I suppose there's a serious level of self-consciousness, all right, and I don't know what it is. Yeah, I've heard comedians, I remember hearing Tommy Tiernan do a joke, you know, a piece on that, and different people talking about it. But yeah, like, because Americans, I mean, they're great, they have a real confidence. It's like an American performer will go up on stage and be like, hello, I'm doing this, you know, they'll be all
in command,
chest
respect.
Out. And they'll be respectful as well, but... Because when you're on stage, I guess it's you're in an authoritative position.
Yes.
You know, you're demanding the attention of people listening.
Yeah.
You know, and in the nicest way, hopefully. And but you want them to want to listen.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Whereas the Irish were a bit like, oh, sure, look, here's a song if you like it. Or,
yeah.
You know.
So hopefully by the end of 2024, then the album itself will be out. But Atone, where can they now get the new single Atone?
So it's currently on one place they might hear it's on Radio 1, the playlist for the last couple of weeks. So it's getting a good bit of play there on radio and Galway FM.
Good.
Maybe. But it's on Spotify and Apple Music and all the streaming platforms. That's the main place. And it'll be on the album, which hopefully later in the summer, maybe I'll have it there. The album's almost ready now, so I'll be announcing that once I'm...
And you, with all those platforms, and we spoke last week with somebody indeed about this as well, in relation to, you don't make much money off these streaming people at all, really.
No, much. I don't know if it's negligible at all. I think I don't know if I've ever, I might have gotten a few cents or something, same as a lot of people. Now, my streaming numbers wouldn't be huge, you know.
Yeah.
But
you still have to graft at night time and work hard.
You do, yeah. I wouldn't even consider streaming like as a viable place you're going to make money from, you know. But it depends as well how you look at it. There's some people that say, well, if you get 100,000 streams, that could be the equivalent of getting played on some big radio station worth 100,000 listeners. Yeah. You know, so you could think of it like that. So in that sense, so if you're getting played, at least your music is getting heard and people will, you know, hopefully enjoy it and go to your gigs or whatever, you know.
And the good thing is you can track those downloads. Yeah. And you'll know then at that stage.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
You're very good to come into us. If they want to get further details, if they just go to www.porikjack.com and get further details from there. Well done to you. Pop into John when you have the album fully ready, if you don't mind.
I'd love to, yeah, thank you.
And with your permission, we're just going to let you go and perform a tone for us as well, A-T-O-N-E. And if you want to get further details, go to any of those platforms that Porik Jack has given us there. So let's just take A Tone by Porik Jack.
No one is listening. You find you're losing heart. Someone is taking, no one is giving. The world is coming apart. We could all be the best of friends. We could all take a rest, my friend. Would you atone someone else who saw the same thing from a different lens? Would you have grown if no one else satisfied you against all your senses? Many dimensions, the latest opinions seek to make their mark. Faithless ideals, cheering ideas, bridges crack their backs. We go
Jack, and that's called A Tone. It's going to go a long way. It's a lovely bit of music, and I've been hearing it both here and elsewhere, indeed, over the last couple of weeks. It's very good, I must say. Very, very good. So now it's going to be a big weekend when it comes to football this weekend, and Oliver Turner sits up to me today. It was a busy weekend last weekend, first, after all.
Sure was, and I suppose from a GAA rugby and soccer context, it was a real mixed bag, even from Galway United's perspective. Brilliant win in Derry on Friday night, and then a little bit of air out of the balloon last night, losing to Bowes. So we've had real trouble with the four Dublin teams, losing to the four of them this season.
Yeah.
We have picked up three wins, including that win over Derry. We won down in Waterford, which, when you look at it, the other team that came up with us We probably need to keep beating them just to maintain our head above water. But it's an extraordinary league. You've got Shelburne out in front, which I don't think anybody saw, with 20 points. And then you've got a whole bunch of teams separated by just 2 points. So Galway United are at the bottom of that pile on 10. But a win last night would have, you know, got them up to second. So it's that tight. So between, you know, between second place and seventh, there's just 2 points separating all of those teams. So if Galway United make a little bit of a mini burst, and if they could win in Sligo on Saturday night against their near neighbours, that would be a huge win as well. Dundalk, very disappointing at the bottom on just 3 points. So since they've left Pat Hooban go, they've really gone into free fall, and that was one of Galway United's wins was in Dundalk. But Sligo will be an important game. So that game on Saturday night then, Keith, will be the ninth, and that effectively is the end of the first round of 4 rounds of matches.
Yeah.
So 10 teams in the division, so they'll play the 9 other teams 4 times. So after the 9 games, you'll have a handle on where Galway United were. If they were to win and get to 13 points and do that 3 more times, that'll be more than enough to stay in the division. And I think that's what everybody was hoping for this season. So that was the mixed bag in terms of soccer. A 1-0 win in Derry, a 2-0 defeat to Bowes last night for Connacht Rugby, and we'll hear their try in Italy in a moment against Benetton. Again, very, very frustrating afternoon for Connacht over in Italy, with a match that they looked like they had done enough to turn around and win late on. They were behind by 6 points. The clock was ticking into the last 5 minutes, and they came up with the goods, managed to convert that try to lead by 14 points to 13, and it was all looking very good. But of course, as we've seen already this season with Leinster and with Edinburgh, Connacht were struggling just to see out the game in the final few seconds, and unfortunately they got caught.
Tackle release as the referee, but the player takes an extra 2 steps. Why they're allowed to do that in this game, I don't know. Brex gets it out the back door. Umaga, here it goes out towards the wing. It's Izagor. Izagor's got through 1 tackle. He's got through 2 tackles. He scored in the corner. You would not believe it. The blindside flanker, Alessandro Izagor, 24 years of age. 2 caps for Italy. Connacht rode their luck a little bit in the second half, played a lot of it in their own half. You wouldn't say Benetton completely don't deserve this, but this game was going to swing one way or the other, and it has swung on a moment of brilliance.
A moment of brilliance.
Yeah, but one that Connacht will look back on the video today and say, God, that really should have been stopped. Very poor. 18-14 they were beaten, and so now the URC is parked for the week because they're heading over to Pau in France, yes, for the European Challenge Cup last 16. This is the point where Connacht lost last weekend. Depending on the results, if Connacht were to win in Pau, they could be playing Benetton Treviso again in the quarterfinals, the side that beat them last year, depending on how they get on against the Lions. So it's most of the season is going to come down to the next couple of weeks. Connacht have 5 games left in the United Rugby Championship. They probably need to win 4 of them in order to get into the top 8, looking at the table. But either way, next Sunday, 5:30 will be Connacht's next outing, and that will be against Pau. And Sunday evening, we will have that one for you live here on Galway Bay FM. Let's look at the mixed bag of results again as we go to Camogie, and a good result for the Galway senior Camogie team as they were victorious over their old rivals Cork at the weekend, 14-9. That gets them into the league final against Tipperary, the side that have beaten them already this year in the round robin. But Carrie Dolan was the star of the show for Galway, scoring 10 points.
Look, it is. I think we went to go 3-1 up, and they came back within a point, and then we shoved on again just before half time. I suppose we were a bit hesitant to shoot in the first half, and Carl came in at half time and said, look, if you're not going to shoot, you don't know whether they're going to go over or wide. So look, the girls took ownership in the second half and got popped up with a few nice scores.
We've heard a lot of talk about league finals over the last couple of days and weeks, and some people saying the merit of them or whatever, but I think you've put it on the record there that you like to go out and win every game, and now we hear you are in the league final in 2 weeks' time back in Croke Park. Sure, it's where every Camogie player wants to be, really.
Look, you don't get too many days out in Croke Park, so you want to get to them all, and I suppose here in Galway we don't have a provincial, so look, we're trying to stay in it as long as we can. If we were knocked out today, I think it was 8 weeks till we were playing again, so look, if girls want to be playing matches, they don't want to be dogged to training.
Yeah, that's for sure. So they have Croke Park to look forward to. The Galway ladies footballers, they play Waterford, and that's on next weekend. That's the match that was called off a couple of weeks ago and was rescheduled for Bacon, but Waterford wouldn't travel, so it's back on for next Sunday. And it's Galway's chance to stay in the division if Galway win at home, which we hope that they will against the already relegated Waterford. That's their decision. When they didn't get a chance to play in Pearse Stadium, they said they wouldn't go to the Dome, so maybe they've people who are claustrophobic and can't play indoor. I don't know, Keith. Anyway, it is what it is. It's played next weekend. So apart from Galway Waterford and the ladies, of course, we've got London Calling on Saturday.
Big weekend, big huge amount of people going over.
A lot travelling, Keith. And I think there's also a sense that this is a return to pre-COVID. The last time we got to go to London was 2019. A year later, Galway didn't get to go to New York because of COVID. And there's a sense almost that, you know, after this 5-year cycle, maybe we're back to normality now where we can travel over and watch the footballers start their Connacht Championship game against a London side that I'd have to qualify by saying that they wouldn't be as strong as the team that got to the Connacht final going back a few years ago. But having said that, this London outfit came over and beat Mayo in the FBD League in January.
That's right.
Albeit, you know, you're looking at probably a third string Mayo, but a Mayo team nonetheless that was trying to win. So there's always something about London, especially in Ruislip. Galway, you know, I've never really struggled over there. Others have. And of course, London, when they did get to the Connacht final that year, had victories over Sligo and Leitrim. So they have caused problems to different teams over the years over there. Galway will hope that they're not one of those for a 3 o'clock start this Saturday. It is a Saturday fixture, which means a lot of people are travelling on Friday and probably, you know, heading back on Sunday or else staying on Sunday and enjoying the sights and sounds of London,
which
they traditionally wouldn't have had a chance to do because the match would have been on the Sunday.
And Cricklewood still, I mean,
Cricklewood will wear a lot, will stay. We're heading up to the Claddagh in Hendon on Friday night for our preview programme at 7 o'clock.
Is that still Finbar?
Still Finbar, yeah. And
he's there in a long time.
Half Minla and Shkahana will be there on Friday night, I think, supporting that event as well. I know he's running a bus to the match on Saturday as well, to and back from Ruislip for the event. So a lot of people, Irish and Galway people, will congregate on the Claddagh Ring on Friday night and Saturday after the match as well. A lot of people will be scattered all corners of London. Some will try and take in a soccer match as well. I think Spurs are playing Forest on Sunday as well, so there'll be a few of the Spurs brigade trying to get into that. I don't think it'll be too hard. It'll be harder to get tickets for Galway London than Spurs Forest, I suspect.
I'd say the first broadcast we did from the Claddagh Ring, the Burkes were involved and Finbar was the manager. And I'd say you're going back the guts of 30 years.
Well,
that's how far back it was.
Yeah, well,
it was absolutely mad.
Like, it's still the centre. It's a huge place, as you know.
Huge.
So there'll be, you know, well over 1,000 people there on the Friday night. Minla GA are running a big fundraiser as well and an auction. They've got lots to hand as well. So good luck to them and their venture as well. But we'll be in on air a little bit earlier in the evening when hopefully sobriety will still have played some part in the contributions of those there. So that's 7 to 9 on Friday evening in the Claddagh Ring. If you're heading over, make sure you come in and join us.
Yeah, and then the game itself. Is the game sold out?
Game itself at 3 o'clock. I haven't heard so. No, it's a small enough capacity, so I'd imagine that people would want to be getting on the ball and getting their tickets in advance of travelling.
Galway Association dinner on that night?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know what's happening on the Saturday night after the match. Yeah. I'd imagine the team will be doing their own thing anyway, but I haven't heard of any official function in that context.
Yeah.
But a lot of people will just do their own thing after the match anyway. I mean, once you're getting out of Ruislip at 5 o'clock on Saturday evening, a lot of people will head back to their local watering holes. Some will be going to see a show. Some will do what they do. It's a fantastic weekend.
They're all tracked though from Ruislip into the central London.
It is.
Public transport is excellent.
I sure look. I mean, where else could you be like London? Well, I'll tell you where you could be. You could be in New York with the Mayo gang. Mm. They're flying out the same weekend. So last one in Connacht. Close the door after them.
What else have you got for sport?
Just to mention Niamh Fahey. She's been in tough luck lately with injuries, so she's going to miss out on the European Championship qualifiers against France and England. The Killarney native has withdrawn from the Republic of Ireland squad to continue her recovery on a calf strain, so we wish her well.
We wish her all the best. Yeah.
Mentioning Spurs and the Premier League, there's a load of games on tonight, including West Ham Spurs in London, in the London Stadium. So West Ham at home there, but Spurs pushing for a top four finish, so they'll jump again above Aston Villa if they can win that one. Newcastle meets Everton, Fulham play Nottingham Forest, Bournemouth host Crystal Palace, and it's Burnley against Wolves, so an exciting night ahead in the Premier League. In snooker, Mark Allen is through to the quarterfinals of the Tour Championship in Manchester. That's on tomorrow when he plays Ding Junhui. He beat John Higgins last night 10-7, so that was a good win for Mark Allen, who's been in good form. And we'll be interested to see how he gets on later on this month in the World Championship, because that's the one everybody's gearing up for.
Oh, were you watching Punchestown yesterday?
I was, and the Grand National. And
they got horrific weather, I believe.
It was incredible to think, because at that time it was quite nice here in Galway. And I was kind of going, really? How is it that bad up at Ferry House? Where the Grand National was. So, so in the end, 13-2 shot winning it as well. So, okay, it was the thing about the Grand National, I suppose it doesn't quite have the same attraction of the entry version, you know, which has such huge. And you know what I really liked was the national anthem played by the Garda Band really got the crowd going, and it created a massive cheer and an atmosphere. And then the starter decided he wasn't going to let the horses go just when everybody was revved up to the last, turned them around and made them go back to the start again, which was a bit of a killjoy, but it didn't really affect the race.
It does, I didn't get to watch it yesterday, I saw a small little bit of it, but I had other jobs on, but it does tee it up for Galway. When you see the facilities that we have in Galway, as against what they had in Punchestown yesterday.
In Ferry House, did I say
Punchestown? Yeah. Ferry House, thank you.
When I know what you're saying, when the camera goes out the back of the course, it does look quite agricultural. But that's what it is. It's a field. But I know what you mean. Yeah, when it comes around, our the TV pictures of our the two stands in Galway. I say ours.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. It's on our doorstep. They are far more imposing, aren't they? I mean, we're more Cheltenham like in terms of
that's
the TV spectacle.
I wasn't being derogatory towards them.
You were right to be, like, in fairness. Plus, the chances are there's nobody listening into us from Ferry House. So.
Sinead Cassidy will give
good
me,
luck to them.
She'll give me a thumbs up, so she will.
No such luck with the likes of Ferry House or Galway today. It's cross-channel in England for our race meeting. So we'll have a tip for you on our lunchtime sport coming up at 1 o'clock.
So we're going to start with, are any flights left out of...
I think it's quite busy, because I spoke to somebody yesterday about looking to book for London the weekend, and obviously at this stage it's quite late. So there's a combination of Ryanair flights to Stansted Luton out of Knock, and the Aer Lingus flight, the one we're taking, which is lunchtime on Friday, into Heathrow. So I don't know whether that's...
You're dead central then. It's
any,
easier.
Any better or not, but whatever way you look at it, you're going to have to get some sort of public transport to wherever you're staying. We're in the Crown in Cricklewood, that hotel, and I think most of Galway will be there as well for the weekend. So we'll be doing one or two bits into John on Sunday afternoon from there with whatever Galwegians we can wake from their slumber.
There's so much history there, because so many of the Irish, and I remember when they went there 45 years ago, so many of the Irish, and that's where they settled, was Cricklewood, and it's a great amount of history. Listen, enjoy it. We'll talk to you before then, though. Oliver, thank you for joining us for sport. That is it, though, for today. We're back July from Studio 1 tomorrow morning. Just after the 9 o'clock news. Thank you to all involved in today's programme. Thank you for listening, by the way. Programme number 9 down. We have 8 to go from tomorrow. John Morley produced. Siobhan took your comments. Until we talk to you tomorrow morning, just after the 9 o'clock news. Have yourselves a very good and a safe Tuesday. Don't forget, by the way, that O'Gorman funeral is taking place in Murphy this evening. Traffic is going to be quite mental, I would think. So give yourself time if you're in and around that area. Talk to you tomorrow just after 9 o'clock. Bye-bye.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.